is shining. It's so good. Fall is beautiful when it's warm and nice. So welcome to church. And I just want to say you all look beautiful. You all are welcome. Who is here for the first time? Who is here for the first time ever? No, we don't have visitors. Yay! Welcome, welcome. We hope you feel at home. And there's always, always, if you need prayer or you have questions, right after church service, we have prayer teams here to answer your questions, to pray with you and for you. And we just want to tell you that you are loved. You are loved. Amen? Okay, let's see. What do we have this week? Oh, look at that. We did some prayer and some shofar blowing. Oh, it was Rosh Hashanah last Sunday, sundown. And so we just gathered together. We prayed. We declared. We prayed for y'all, guys. we pray for all of us, okay? For the church family. So we have still opportunity to pray every month. So if you follow the calendar and missed one or two, you always have the third one. So October 9th, we'll have open prayer 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. here at church. So you're welcome to come. And look, guys, we even pray guitar here. Cha-cha, hallelujah. Okay, so Living Free class is going, and it will be our fourth week. So if you haven't gone, you still are welcome to come. You can catch up with us. And we also have Youth Living Free, and every time we get new kids. So yay, we love them. We get some freedom, fellowship, and pizza. So if you are interested and you have young people in your house or friend's house or your neighbors, well, you're welcome to come. We start at 6, we just eat, and then at 6:30 we do teaching, okay? So please come. Or if you just yourself, just come for adult living free. Oh, look at this. Man camp. Yay! Breakthrough. My tongue didn't break. Okay, look at this amazing guys. Look at this fellowship, and we're so happy. The weather was so nice, right? It's always a bonus. And so we have some testimonies. So RJ will share.
I never know what I'm going to say, or it's just, sticking with the themes of commitment and prayer. It was a pretty big deal for me to come back. I've never really been a big prayer guy, and so for a long time, it's a constant reminder and a constant battle to make sure that I turn my will and my life over to God. Amen. And Man Camp was an opportunity to make new bonds, new friends, and, something to recommit for myself, because the man you see before you is not even possible without God. So, thank you.
Thank you. We love you, RJ. We're so grateful for their testimony and faithfulness. And Christine, thank you for being faithful in praying and serving. Thank you. And you know what? Commitment, and it's also about accountability, right? Because we go through hard time, we go through questioning, but it's easy to fall out when you are alone and isolated. But God wants us to be a family, not just we come on Sunday and check, we are here, God, yeah? But it's commitment to each other. We are family here, we love each other. That's how we grow, that's how we challenge each other, we open up to love, and it's risky, but it's worth it. Amen? So let's love more this year, yeah? This coming year, let's make a resolution. We'll love more. Amen? Not just in words, but in action. That means if you feel ashamed, if you did something, you come to your brother or sister and you confess. And if you feel blessed, you come and you share your joy. Amen. You feel homesick, you come and ask, hey, let's go eat together. It's all family, just regular, normal, busy life, but we are intentional, amen? So let's just love more, amen?
Real quick to Nolan, though. You see him up there? He's praying for us all, and he opened up the mat camp for us this week. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, he's a mighty man of God.
Hallelujah.
He stepped up, and he wasn't afraid and anything like that, and he just did it for
us.
We
are breaking out of our old mold, and we're breaking forth into the who God made us. Amen. Bold man and bold woman of God. Amen. Speaking of women, bold, courageous women. So we change our Saturday hangout to a third Saturday, not second. So we can combine it together with men, not like together. They will have their own, we'll have our own, but afterwards we can do ministry together, okay? So October 19th, this month we'll have October 19th at 9:30 a.m. So ladies, are you here? Awesome. So Saturday, October 18th, see you there. And we will combine outreach at 11:30. We will go to the neighborhood outreach with guys, and we will serve together. Amen. Women, I mean, people who serve together, pray together, eat together, camp together, retreat together, stay together. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's see, what else do we have? Oh, yeah, and we're advancing, so we want more of Jesus. We want more of learning the word together in a safe, friendly, fun coffee environment. So we do it every week on Wednesday, 9:30 at Starbucks, of course. It's a very anointed place, 106 in Pacific. So we meet there with Kathy or Marsha, whoever shows up. It doesn't matter. You just show up. Sisters are there. Open the Bible and read. Amen? Okay, for those of us who don't work during the day and have time and would like to learn more, you're welcome. Okay, so and next Sunday we will have fellowship movie after church. We'll have hot dogs and popcorn and movie and family, again, family, amen. So don't forget next Sunday after church. Okay, let's stand up and worship.
So we're going to sing happy birthday to Marsha. So here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marsha. Happy birthday to you.
All of us are already seated in the heavenly places, according to as the song we just sang. And all the situations on your status, everything is already declared and settled in heavenly places. But as we live in the reality, how come we don't feel like it? We feel like we're defeated a lot of times. We feel like we lost the battle. But it says, every battle we've won, undefeated. So it's not a matter of how you feel. You listen to what God says about it. You listen that you are undefeated. Say after me, I am undefeated. Amen. But so it doesn't matter. See, you gotta understand, as we just sang, you have to desire. And you have to desire for the heavenly things. You know, as we worship, That's what we are doing every day. As we come before the Lord, we desire new things. Bible says, blessed are those who are thirst and hunger for the righteousness. You know, if you are that, then look around. You are already blessed. You are already, it already happened. It already happened. You know, and a lot of people ask me, I was asked so many times, Pastor Michael, how did you quit drugging? Answer to that is, I have no idea how. You ask me how, I have no idea. One day I realized I don't want to do it anymore. Inside of me, I had a desire to serve the King. I had a desire to live like Christians, live like Christ. That desire was more than to desire to drug. That's what happened. That's what happened. How did it happen? If you really want to be technical, then you invite the Spirit of God inside of you. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, then He will give you the new desire of your hearts. That's what we worship. When we worship, you invite Holy Spirit in. Holy Spirit, come. Let's just ask Him. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you accept Him as a Lord and Savior of your life. Are you ready to listen to Him? Are you ready to obey? Are you ready to obey and invite Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is not like a demon. Demon comes to you uninvited to kill and steal and to destroy, but the Holy Spirit of God is not. He has to be invited. He has to be invited in each and every one of us. You open your hearts and invite Holy Spirit in. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Let's ushers come. Let's really invite Him in and really worship Him with our material, with our hearts. Let's really give Him praise. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for what You have already accomplished at Calvary. We confess to You, we are seated. We are looking in our spiritual eyes, and we are seated in the heavenly places. Every battle we won, undefeated. Lord, we confess to You, You are our champion. You are our Lord and our Master. We are opening our hearts, inviting You, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Come. You are a Master. You are the Lord. You alone, my spirit, yield. As we give our material, our offering, Lord, receive this offering. We pray that Your glory, if You will be glorified for the every place that this money is spent and material is used. Lord, open up the heaven and just pour out Your blessing upon blessing in Tacoma. Lord, let the revival break out. Let Freedom River just reach out. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, let the heavenly glory will be manifested here in Tacoma. Lord, thank You. We worship You. We praise You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I know it. It was fun. But it was good. Thank you again, you guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know I'm about prayer. And so I just wanted to encourage all of you that October 9th at 4 o'clock here, back in the corner of the church, It's called open prayer. And we want you, anybody who wants to pray or has a family need or something you want prayed for. So just come, and we want to pray. So the church is building up in prayer, and we need you. We need your voices. And so for this month, October, we have some prayer points that I would like to pass out that you guys could be praying for. We are preparing for November, which we call Frovember, right? Because it's our beginnings. It's a renewal month that we call it, and so we're getting ready, and so we want to pray for some of these points, and that also we want to get ready, and we'll have more for November. We're expecting great things in our lives, right? Yeah.
Amen.
More than what we've already seen already.
Yeah.
Amen? So, okay.
I already have mine.
Okay,
so,
good.
Are we passing those out
yes.
right now? Okay, great.
All right. yes, please.
I'll talk about
okay, good.
leaders say, wait a minute. And for whatever political reason, apparently, they're jealous. It's not about truth making it to the people. It's not about truly worshiping God. It's more about their control and, can I say, power. Scary. More than scary, heartbreaking. Maybe both, in the sense that, wow, this is where people would go to find God. And church, God is preparing us for this. And this is one of your first prayer points that Marcia handed out to you. I believe there's a next step. And I believe there are people that are going to come through these doors. And guess what? They're like, you know, I'm leaving my life and I'm just, you know, doing whatever, whatever. But there's something woke up in me and I want to know about God. And I didn't know where to go. None of my friends believe in God. So this place on the front says church. So I thought, well, let's go there. Praise God. Amen. I hope more and more people come through these doors saying, I just got some questions. I just want to find out. I want to see if this is for real. I believe this is going to happen. I believe it's going to be a huge social movement. And I wish I could say I was confident in every place that had the word church over the front door. Now, I'm not moving in judgment. I don't know about other ministries. I know there are many excellent churches that are truly following Jesus Christ and are truly preaching the gospel of good news of salvation in faith in Jesus alone through God's grace. But I would not say 100%, and this is an example of a place that, hey, if I were a seeker and I live there and I'm like, you know, I have some questions. I want to find out about God. Oh, I'll go to this place because apparently it's about truth and it's about God. Not necessarily. When Paul and Silas stand up and start preaching, the leaders are like, whoa, wait a minute. People are following you more than they're following us. Wow. Well, it's not about following them or me or us, or it's about truth and it's about the true God making himself known. The accusation that comes up is these Christians are turning the world upside down. False accusation is happening all through Acts, everywhere they go. Everywhere the truth is preached, there seems to be a corresponding pushback. The enemy's good at false accusations. But I happen to like this one. I think this one is great. Because I want to turn the world upside down. And our world needs to be turned upside down. And it's interesting how demon logic works, because usually in false accusation, what is being spouted is exactly what the enemy's doing. Be aware of that. But in this case, this false accusation, the inference is, you know, hey, it's a bad thing. But the truth is, it's a good thing. And this is what needs to happen. Our society, our culture needs to wake up. It needs to be turned upside down. And it needs to center one nation under God again. It needs to refocus on what is called Judeo-Christian values, meaning our laws that are modeled after the Ten Commandments. We need to turn our world upside down. And from Acts to today, the gospel has the power to do that. But here's an argument that was a message that was tough for the Jewish people to hear. And I wanted to point this out to you. He's preaching the Messiah, which the term Messiah has a lot of meaning and a lot of understanding to a Jewish person that would hear that. The word technically means anointed priest or Yahweh's chosen king. That's just another name for the God. And literally broke down, the word is mine appointed. So more than actually what the word means, I gave you this bullet point here that it really is lumped together in the messianic hope. When you say the word Messiah to a Jewish person, the Messiah is the instrument that God's kingdom will be established in Israel and the world. And so when you say Messiah, that's a good thing. That's like, great. That means no matter how bad things are, God's reign is going to be established again, because we know all the prophecies that talk about God using the Messiah to turn the world upside down, but in a good way, and reestablish his kingdom here on earth, the center of the earth, Jerusalem, or I should say Israel, the center of Israel, Jerusalem, the center of Jerusalem, Temple Mount. All that meaning is in this term Messiah. But for some really smart, educated guys, they're missing one fact about God's appointed Messiah. And that is Isaiah 53 clearly prophesies that the suffering Messiah, that yes, this is God's appointed instrument, and in his first trip to earth, he's going to suffer. And if you read Isaiah 53, you tell me after you read that chapter who it's talking about. The specifics and the description of Jesus Christ are undeniable. It is Isaiah's prophecy almost 400 years before the time of Christ, and you cannot read that and say, oh, I wonder who Isaiah is talking about. And I put a parenthetical note here. Today, this chapter is not included in regular synagogue readings. In Israel today, the readings throughout the prophets are on the calendar years in advance, except for this chapter. And that is really interesting to me, because it's the word of God. This is one of your prophets. You'll read the rest of Isaiah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They love Isaiah. Isaiah is one of their favorite prophets. But why won't you read this chapter? I tried to research this, and what I found, this I thought was fascinating, is testimonies of Jews who, by the way, it's not read in temple, but they have their books of the law, so they can read it on their own. They're supposed to read it on their own. Jews that have read Isaiah 53, and they come up with this testimony. Yeshua, which is the way a Jew would say Jesus, Jesus is the Messiah. And the first time he came was to suffer and be our atonement. The second time he's coming, oh yeah, all those prophecies are also true. He's a returning king. And yes, he will be triumphant. And that's when he will establish God's rule here on earth. Isn't that interesting? You would think, gee, if you care about truth, yeah, read all of Isaiah. Why leave out one whole chapter? But again, it just so corresponded with what we're seeing in the first century right here in Acts 17 that I thought, wow, that attitude still exists today. There's still, I would rather skip over this for the sake of tradition and for the sake of keeping my little power, I guess, than truly hearing God's heart and truly aligning ourselves with God's truth and God's plan. Man, I tell you, if you have any Jewish friends and they're willing to talk about the Messiah with you, ask them who Isaiah 53 is talking about. Don't get in an argument, but you ask them and see what they say. I have one Jewish friend. He was actually, when I was in business, one of my lawyers, and Kathy and I would spend time with him, and Kathy would always try to lead him to the Lord, and she was very faithful with that, and he was very entertained by that. But when I asked him about the Messiah, he said this to me, which was kind of heartbreaking. He goes, oh, I don't believe in the Messiah myth. I'm like, oh, gee. In other words, some of these facts are so tough to reconcile with the ministry and person of Jesus Christ that modern Jews have just said, oh, I think it's all a myth. I'm throwing it all out, which to me is heartbreaking. And also, it creates hopelessness, because the Messiah really represents hope. It really represents that, hey, our world that's got so much going wrong all around the globe right now, this is not going to last forever. You and I have a messianic hope, the hope that God's Messiah will return. you and I know it as fact, that Jesus Christ, who is God's Messiah, our Savior, will return. And when he does, then the world would be put in ultimate order with God's reign established here on earth. All right, back to Acts 17. But some of the Jews were jealous, and there's this spirit that is so destructive, and we've gone over this, we've repented of it, we kicked jealousy out of here, because this is not one to be trifled with. This is an evil spirit, and it's an anti-love spirit, it's an anti-joy spirit, it's an anti-Jesus spirit. So, you know, when you think of jealousy, don't think of schoolyard, you know, this boy likes me, this boy doesn't type jealousy. Think of an evil agenda to rob joy and rob our relationship with God. All right, so some of these Jews, the Spirit had access to them, so they gathered some troublemakers from the marketplace. I got to speed up here, but isn't that funny? I mean, apparently this was an occupation, a troublemaker, and it's like, hey, we could use a couple of those guys. Hey, run down to the marketplace, and we need some. All right. Well, okay. I mean, how do you do that, right? You just go out and like, okay, a couple of you troublemakers, I got a job for you. Follow me. I don't know. Maybe some of you have had that job. I don't know. If you have, come explain it to me. I didn't know you got paid for it. I, every time I've done it, no one paid me for it. But apparently these guys have this job of being troublemakers. They form a mob and start a riot. Okay, we get it. They attack the home of Jason, and I wish I had more to tell you about who this guy is. A brave follower of God. He gets mentioned a couple times, but here's the first time he gets mentioned. So they attack the home of Jason, searching for Paul and Silas so they could drag him out into the crowd. Not finding them there, they dragged out Jason, okay, poor guy, by association again, and some of the other believers instead, and took them before the city council. Paul and Silas have started trouble all over the world. False accusation. They shouted, and now they are here to disturb our city too. And Jason has welcomed them into his home, guilt by association. They are all guilty of treason against Caesar, again, false accusation, for they profess allegiance to another king named Jesus. True, Jesus is king. And one of the first commands that Jesus taught is submit to your earthly rulers. Christianity is the most untreasonous religion there is, because it teaches ultimate submission, pay taxes. I mean, Jesus taught all of that. The people of the city, as well as the city council, were thrown into turmoil by these reports. I don't know what to call this other than an atmosphere of turmoil, which is what the Bible calls it. And you would think, is this real? Does this have power? Well, I don't know if you are following our country's politics right now, but this is exactly what's happening. Not a lot of facts, but wow, a lot of turmoil. And maybe you sense this on a personal note and you would use this vocabulary, because I've heard people say this to me, I'm just tired of the drama. Well, I think that's what this means. This is fingerprints of the enemy. It's just causing turmoil. It's just causing alarm. It's just, you know, rising again, the static and what's real and what isn't real. Okay, I got to navigate through this. I'm just tired of the drama. Well, this seems to be a scheme of the enemy, and it's not new. Here we see, again, the first century. He's riled people up. They're going like, yeah, what he said. Yeah, what he said. Well, what did they say? What is that based on? I don't know, but he said it. I saw it reported in media. I saw it on social media. It must be true, right? All right, church, we have a role to play. One of calmness, one of love, one of order, and one of truth, which, by the way, takes a little bit of work. All right. Oh, so the people of the city, as well as the city council, were thrown into turmoil by these reports. So the official forced Jason and the other believers to post bond. This is a New Living Translation. And then they released them. Probably what happened was, wow, we're all mad. We're all, you know, charged up. What about? I don't know. Whatever that guy said and whatever that guy said. Well, what's the charge? We don't have a charge, but we're all mad. So pay a bribe and we'll let you go. Because we really don't have anything to charge you with. That's probably what this is. Posting a bond, it's not like you and I are thinking bail bond. It's not that. Because there is no trial. Because there is no charge. And so it's like, well, pay us some money and everyone will calm down tomorrow. And that's exactly what happened. Crazy, isn't it? Mob mentality. Wow, be aware. Understand how this works. Okay, whoa, sorry. Kind of advanced through a bunch of stuff there. You can tell I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff at you here in just a minute. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. Important place to remember, but also understand that the believers now are seeing Paul and Silas as a resource. And they don't want the mob's craziness to kill a very precious resource. So Paul and Silas, I think, would have just stayed there and taken another beating. It seems like they have that kind of personality. But the believers said, no, it's not worth it. You're too important. We need you. We're going to ship you out of here until people calm down and come back. And that's exactly what happened. So they go off to Berea. And when they arrived there, again to the Jewish synagogue, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women, again, awesome ladies, and men. I want to talk about this section just for a second because this is really an important little principle here that's talking about the people of Berea were more open-minded. Again, a New Living Translation. This is one place where it's not my favorite translation. Your translation or more literal translation might use the word, these people were more noble. Isn't that a good word? Isn't that interesting? They were noble. Why were they more noble? Well, because they listened eagerly. Step one is they're open. So open-minded is not all bad, by the way. Step one is to be open. I've never heard this before, but I can hear it, all right? I'm not going to be offended just because you're saying something I haven't heard before and I don't understand. I need to be open to hear it. Church, Christians, you can listen to your atheist friends. You can do it. It's okay. You're not going to be a bad person. You're not going to get a demon move into you, you know, by listening to them. No. You can be open. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that to you, because I have confidence not only are you more noble, but you have truth. And if you're open, yeah, I'll listen to your crazy, wacky, whatever deal it is, but then I'll disagree with you. That's okay. I can do that. No name calling, no shouting, no shutting you down. No, finish the story. Okay, is that it? Well, here, now I'll tell you why I disagree. It's because here's the real truth. Now, many people or groups have that ability. My son went really far through academia, and in a graduate degree, I was always impressed in the way they would debate. They would disagree sharply, but then afterwards, they would go out for a burger and fries together because it was just part of how they learned. And I thought, man, you know, when people disagree, that's a lost art. Now it seems society seems to be breaking down and people start calling names and start shouting and start, you know, it's like, no, Let's listen. Let's listen to each other. We can do that. So this concept of open-minded, I was actually researching it and found a better term, and this was used in several commentaries, especially older commentaries, because of their sagacity. Now, you might not know what that word means. Don't feel bad. I didn't know where that word means. I had to look it up. So I went to the Cambridge Dictionary. I know I used to be a dictionary.com guy, but I watched a movie with Mel Gibson in it on how they made this dictionary. And so now I'm kind of a fan of the Cambridge Dictionary, other than it has the UK pronunciations in it. So it's kind of strange. Okay, so sagacity is the quality of having or showing understanding and the ability to make good judgments. That's what the Bereans had. They had this ability because they searched the scriptures, and as a result, they had this ability to make good judgments. I think that's the key. If you're worried about your brain power or your brain health, search the scriptures. Spend time in the Word of God. I think it will make your brain healthier. Yes, you will be able to recognize truth. All of that goes together, by the way. So, man, use this in a sentence today. I prayed this morning over Marcia. I said, man, that's a woman of sagacity. She has that wisdom. She searches the scripture. She is able to hear something new and then recognize if it's truth or not. Proverbs 1 starts with this principle. This is one of my favorite chapters of Proverbs. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Are you hearing that then? You are able to listen. And you've already learned stuff. You're smart. I'm not saying you're not smart just because you're listening to something new, but add it to and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Absolutely. The smartest people I know are also the most humble people I know, and they're easy to talk to and easy to talk into their lives. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Wow. Yes, I get it. There is a spiritual war. It's not just as easy as listening to somebody with an opposing value, with an opposing idea. But again, learn the lessons. You can afford to be open if you are spending time in God's Word. You will recognize the counterfeit. You will recognize the half-truths, which are lies. You will recognize demon logic. And your brain will be healthy, and you will be like the Bereans. You will be noble, and you will have sagacity. Try to use that in a sentence today so you'll remember it. All right. So, not a lot of time in Berea. They're now on to Greece, same reason. Some people got offended, so they moved on. While Paul was waiting in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. Now, this is just a little archaeological top of one of the temples, and it's full of all their Greek gods, and again, hundreds of them. And if you ever had to sit through teaching of that in junior high, I mean, I actually got taught about Greek mythology in junior high, and I'm thinking, oh, this is the dumbest stuff I've ever heard, but okay. One thing that, without knowing the background, what Paul would have seen and what he would felt, and what I'm going to do here is try to get you to understand why he was deeply troubled. Because, again, I'm talking about sagacity and being able to be open and being able to receive someone that disagrees with you. But I'm not saying don't have passion. And I'm not saying don't care. Paul cared. And I believe he cared deeply, not to be right, not to win an argument, But when he looked at all these idols, he saw things like, oh, well, that's just a power-hungry demon. Oh, that one's bloodthirsty, and they are. They're terrible. They just want to kill and destroy. That one's arrogant and prideful. That one's vindictive. Can you imagine worshiping a vindictive God? Really? I mean, it's like, wow, you'd be scared for your life. Well, the Greeks and their philosophy, these are really smart guys. They're listing all these guys. They're deviant too. They're sexually immoral. They're awful. And Paul is saying, I know what that one stands for. I know what that one means. I know this is awful. I feel for these guys. This is a terrible existence. I'm not going in there and saying, hey, you guys are dumb. You're wrong. He's like, no, I feel for you guys. If this is all there is, this is your life? Oh, man. Guys, there's a better way. There's a gospel of truth, of joy, of freedom. I tell you, I was just teaching up north this weekend, and I was telling about the reason I beg God for the prophetic. Is God, I just see people's lives being destroyed. I need your words to set captive free, because I can't do it. And that's the Spirit of God moving on behalf of somebody else. And I believe that's exactly what is happening to Paul here. He was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. And he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles. And he spoke daily in the public square to all who would happen to be there. Guys, let me just tell you about how awful all of this is. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. And by the way, people are still studying Greek philosophy today and studying these guys that are influenced by all this craziness. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, what's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he picked up? Others said, he seems to be preaching about some foreign gods. All right. They resulted to name calling. Philosophers, smart guys, yeah, let's discuss every philosophy as long as it's always about demons. You know, I used to go into philosophy chat rooms and like, hey, you guys really want to talk about philosophy? I'll be the Jesus guy. I'll be here talking about Jesus. Oh, no, we don't want to talk about Jesus. But we'll talk about all these other awful gods. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought you were open thinkers. Apparently, that term means open to think about every demon under the sun, except about God's truth and God's love and God's freedom. So be careful. Be careful. You'll learn the lesson like I had, but this is what is going on here. But some of them, they took him to the high council of the city. Come, tell us about this new teaching. They've never heard this before. You are saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's about. It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend their time discussing the latest ideas. They were a think tank, and they kind of prided themselves in being open thinkers. So some truly were. Some, not all, some truly invited Paul, tell me the next step. So Paul starts speaking to these Greek philosophers, plays on a hill called Mars Hill. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. And this will be a sermon, so I'll just kind of read through it, but we'll end with gaining a few points from what Paul chose to speak to these men of. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For I was walking along and I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. Now remember, first commandment, second commandment, the law of love. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So Paul is following this in the sense in how he starts his greeting. It's very kind. He's relating to them. I think he's really loving them. And I found this quote from Abraham Lincoln, which I loved. Before you can convince a man of anything, you must first convince him that you are his true friend. And that takes some time, and that takes some work. And I'm really proud of our little outreach teams that go out. And sometimes they come back feeling like, wow, we didn't lead anyone to the Lord. We really didn't have it. I'm like, no, you're out there being a true friend. Be patient. That takes time. If you really care, then just care. No agenda. We're not out there trying to win arguments. We're not selling used cars. We're not even saying join our organization. No, if I really care about you, I'm just going to care about you. Yes, if this comes up, I'll be very quick to tell you about the gospel and the saving power of it. But I just love this quote from Abraham Lincoln. Christians sometimes skip this step and we forget. Hey, first, let's really communicate God's love. Let's truly care for people, no strings attached. All right, so he's going on in his sermon. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Isn't it interesting how this has been attested throughout the ages, God's creative nature and power? But you see that evidence everywhere. This is, by the way, as Romans tells us, this is the first way we know God wants to be known. Look at nature. You know, God is saying this is not an accident. This is not chance. Look at all this. And the first question every human being has is, how did we get here and where did all this come from? Yeah, that's built into you because you're supposed to ask that question. And hopefully as you seek the answer to that question, you find the Creator, you find God. Now, I know our culture has given us an alternate answer. That's heartbreaking because this is one of the major things that God reveals to everyone in the same playing field. Everyone can see the creative work all around us. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in a man-made temple, and human hands can't serve his needs. For he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the world and earth. He decided beforehand when they should arise and fall and determine their boundaries. This is a verse we use in Living Free on your original design. Even where you live and when you live is determined by God. Pretty cool, huh? It keeps going from there in his creative power and his sovereignty. His purpose was for the nations to seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. There it is. God wants to be found. Well, it's kind of hard. I'm not saying it's easy. But if you are serious, you can crawl around. You can make mistakes. You can kind of get off track. But if you are serious, truth will navigate you always to Jesus, the true living Son of God. So keep going, seeker, and God bless you. And by the way, we are here to serve you. If you are a true seeker, you can talk to me about anything you want. If you want to talk about aliens, I'll talk about aliens with you. I don't care. The point being, if you're really motivated to seek truth, then I'll spend the time, and so will all the leaders here. We'll spend the time, and we'll navigate with you. We'll figure it out. Women's Bible study. Man, everything's fair, right? Okay, any questions you can ask? Is caffeine an addiction? You can even talk about that if you want. You know, my point being, truth can handle questions.
Amen.
Truth is not offended by that.
Amen.
Truth doesn't like start screaming and shouting and trying to, no. If it's truth, yeah, ask away. Let's figure it out. I'm not saying I know the answer to every question. I just know Mr. Truth.
Amen.
And ultimately, Mr. Truth will have the answer. Ultimately. And this is been played out in over 2,000 years, however old you think the earth is, 8,000 years. As we get smarter and smarter in science, we are proving the Bible more correct and more correct. There are things you couldn't have answered before, in the Old Testament. And guess what? Now with modern technology, it's being answered and it's proving that the Bible is accurate. Amazing. Including the earth being round, including, I mean, all kinds of things. All right, I got to get on track because we got to finish up here. All right. This was his purpose. So we would seek him and we would find him. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think God is an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance. Yeah, most of us started here about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. I don't have time to get into this, but we are living in an information age. So, yeah, it's a little different in the sense that if you really want to find God, you have some tools that previous generations did not. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and prove to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. These Greeks kind of heard this and go, whoa, this is something new. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this. Now that ended that session. This is kind of an academic debate. So that ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. Among them were all these people, including some women. We'll talk about them later. Okay, what can we learn from this? A couple things. One is, he says, I see you are very religious. He's finding a common ground. And we can find that with anybody, by the way. It doesn't matter what culture, it doesn't matter what lifestyle, it doesn't. We're human beings created in God's image, so there's a common ground, and that's where I like to start. With them, it was that they were very religious. Now, I put demon in parentheses here because the word Paul used for, I see you are very religious, it was a word meant kind of like idolatrous. Not that word, not religious, but a word that left wiggle room for, I see you are worshiping kind of in ignorance. You're worshiping demons. You don't know that. And commentators saying, oh, he's trying to offend them. No, he wasn't trying to offend them. He was just trying to say, man, you guys are really devout. If you're so devout over demons, let me introduce you to someone that it's worth being devoted to. And so it's kind of embedded in the vocabulary and tough for you and I to ultimately discern. But I think this is a good lesson in our corresponding with people, a good starting point of commonality and in a sense a compliment. Anytime you can start with a compliment, original design helps you do that. It helps you talk about who people really are. Number two, Paul cared. Remember, he was deeply disturbed by what he observed. And that Abraham Lincoln quote, if you really care, we need to establish that first and take time to do that. You can afford to do that. Can I say we have to do that? You have answers to people's vague questions. You can teach, live the resurrection. Now, I say vague questions because most people, whether they know it or not, do have this question, where did we came from? Do have this question, what happens after life, you know, after death? Now, I know all the alternative answers out there. Those are just excuses. It's not something that people, they just kind of use it to appease them. When I've talked to people about, you know, is there life after death? They're like, well, you know, I saw this movie once and we come back as zombies and then we come back as da-da-da-da. I'm like, do you believe that? Not really, but it's going to serve me for now. Really? You're making life decisions based on a couple movies you watched and based on for now, that's going to stop you from thinking anymore about this important topic? That's why I say it's kind of vague. And where did creation come from? Oh, well, we're just evolution. Okay, well, where did that come from? Oh, well, a Big Bang. Okay, what caused that? I don't know. Okay, would you like to think about that. Oh, not really. Those are good enough for me. I'll just take the off-the-shelf craziness and just say, yeah, I'll just, you know, they're really smarter people than I am. Wow, that's the logic of fools. Do you want to move in real wisdom? Do you want to know truth? Let's work on those questions. Let's meet every week and talk about them. You do your research, I'll do mine. Let's have something to talk about. It'll be fun. And we'll have some coffee and caffeine. All right. By the way, this is an important one. The outcome is up to God. Some will follow. Not all, but some. You have to be okay with that. I have to be okay with that. We have to have peace with that. But we can't let that keep us from doing what God has called us to do. And that is to be that living example of the resurrection. I said live, teach here because I know when I say the word teach, people shut down and go, I'm not a teacher. You don't need to teach it. You're living it. You were dead and God raised you to life. People are watching your life. They're going like, who are you? I know the old you. I know the knucklehead version of you, but this new you is the resurrection. And by the way, use that term. When people said, what happened to you? You can say, I got raised from the dead because it is true. I died with Christ and I got raised in a new creation in him. Stand up. Let me pray that over you. That's who you are. I wasn't able to have all the fun that the guys did at Man Camp because I was up in Bothell teaching and I was talking to one of the leaders up there and I said, man, I apologize. All our men are at Man Camp. Our ladies are supporting another prayer thing we have going on. And he looked at me and he said this. He goes, I have total peace because, yeah, this won't be the usual program. But it's up to God. And I'll just give you the short version. We had over 50 people show up at this thing. And it was me, myself, and I. I was a one-armed paper hanger, just really going at it there, doing everything. And I turned the people loose to pray for each other, and they loved it. It was a success. God had ordained that the outcome was up to him, and the outcome was powerful. Lord, I thank you for these amazing men and women of faith. We will do our part. Direct us, Holy Spirit, speak loud and clear. But as for the outcome, we're trusting you. We'll plan, but God, you have the right to change our plans. Holy Spirit, come. Lead us. Prepare us for this next step. We want to be faithful, not only to speak, but faithful to care for those that you bring in the doors and that are here. We want to love them. We want to care for them with dignity. We want to prove that we care for them now and for eternity. So, Lord Jesus, bless this congregation. Bless us with your presence, with your truth, with your power, with your love. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I see Galia hovering.
Hello.
Hello, Galia.
Hello. So, month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month.
Okay.
And so we want to appreciate our pastors, and one of our youth, with help of Cindy, made a little videos for us. So if you want to watch it.
That is so cute.
Oh, where is the sound? Let us restore. Our kids worked really hard to dance for our pastors and show how much they love them, okay?
Here, you can take away. I'm
It's our youth. I'm just so proud of Matthew. He did a lot of work to do this. Matthew, are you here? Can you come up here? He will be praying for pastors with me. So we would like to invite Pastor Michael, Pastor Jesus, Pastor John, Pastor Kathy, Pastor Dennis, Pastor Denise, Pastor Marsha, all here. And we will pray for you. We love you. We appreciate you. And so sorry. Like, we, of course, every day, every week, we are thankful for you. But we choose once a year to just say it officially, the whole church, the whole congregation. So, guys, if you want to come up and just huddle around, and we will pray, and we will just say our gratitude. And we have a little presence here if Matthew would like to distribute. Okay, this is Dennis. Well, that, okay. Do you want to pray with me?
You can.
Okay. Okay, so let's just, yes, we love our pastors. Thank you so much for serving us. Thank you so much for doing a lot of work behind the scenes and just dealing with our breakdowns and up downs. So thank you. We love you. And so let's just pray. God, we thank you. We thank you so much for our leaders, God. We thank you for their courage, God. We thank you for their faithfulness, God. God, even when it's tough, even when it's hard, they just press through and they choose to love us, God, and they choose to just every day to show up and love and continue to be there for us, God. And we thank you, God, for their calling. We thank you, God, that you have chosen them. We thank you for their obedience, God. And we just pray, God, your abundant blessing in this coming year, God. We just pray for breakthrough in their lives, God. We pray, God, promotion, God, from you, Lord God. We just pray, God, that all the desires of their hearts and the prayers that they are praying so faithfully and for so long, God, that they will see the fruit, God, of their prayers, God, of their labor, God. We just pray, God, that your hand be on them, God. We thank you, God, that they are marked by you for your glory, God. We thank you, God, that you're choosing them to expand your kingdom, God. And we just pray, Lord God. We pray, God, and we say we thankful, and we just agree right now, God, that we will honor our leaders. We'll lift them up more, God, in our prayers, God. We will help their gift to flourish, God. We will be a good followers, Lord. And just again, thank you, Lord God. And we just pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.